Sunday morning in Sunday school. And I told you then that chapter 3 is in two main sections. The first is verses 1 through 13, and then the next is verses 14 through 21. In the first section, we're given an explanation of Paul's mission. And then in the second section, we have a second prayer that Paul prayed for these Ephesian believers. But this first section, verses 1 to 13, I've divided into three parts. First of all, verses 1 through 6, we're going to see what Paul calls a mystery. And then verses 7 to 12, we'll look at a minister. And then finally in verse 13, we'll look at a message. So that's the three ways we're going to break up this first section that we'll be studying. And in verse 1, we talked a little bit about how Paul refers to himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I mentioned that Paul was literally a prisoner of Rome at the time. That's why this epistle is referred to as a prison epistle, because he was literally in bonds whenever he wrote the book of Ephesians. But he does not say he was the prisoner of Rome. He said he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul never, anywhere that he talked about his imprisonment, referred to himself as a prisoner of Rome. You don't see him doing that. He always refers himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ or prisoner of the Lord. He saw his imprisonment through spiritual eyes, which is really important. It's important that we see every circumstance of life from a biblical perspective rather than just a human perspective. But also there's more to it, as I mentioned in Sunday school. When he says he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I took you over to Philippians 3 where Paul talks about how he was apprehended of the Lord. And that terminology I mentioned, you hear that when police talk about apprehending a suspect. It means that they have captured or arrested the suspect. And Paul says that he was apprehended of Christ Jesus and that he was trying to apprehend that for which he was apprehended. In other words, he was trying to catch or lay hold of the very cause or the very purpose for which he had been apprehended by the Lord Jesus. And I think that's a lot of what Paul is referencing here and in other places when he says he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He knew that he had been apprehended by Christ. And he knew from what we read in Philippians that he had been apprehended for a specific purpose. That's why he said he was trying to apprehend that for which he was apprehended. He knew there was a reason why the Lord had laid hold of his life. And you see that, I think, right here, and it's seen in other places as well. But notice he says in verse 1, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Why was it that the Lord apprehended Paul? Why did he take him captive, make him his prisoner? It was for the Gentiles. That's what he says. Now let's look at a few other scriptures that bears this out. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, you'd notice here something that the Lord says to Paul. And this is Paul going over and recounting his own personal testimony. And he says, verse 21, he's quoting the words of the Lord Jesus. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Unto the Gentiles. That's what the Lord said. You leave here because I got a long way I want you to go. I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. This is another occasion where Paul is giving his defense, and he's recounting his own personal testimony. And he's talking here specifically about what the Lord said to him after he encountered him on the road to Damascus. And look at verse 15, Acts 26, 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those in the which I will appear unto thee," which is a promise that he's going to show him some things in the future. But notice verse 17, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles," look at this, "unto whom now I send thee." Fixing to send you to the Gentiles. Why? Verse 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now, that's two places. I want you to look at one more. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11. We know from reading the book of Acts that Paul witnessed to Jews all the time. Wherever he went, he would go first to the Jews, and then he would turn to the Gentiles. So it wasn't that he ministered only to Gentiles. He ministered to Jew and Gentile, but his primary calling, the main purpose for which the Lord apprehended Paul, was to send him to the Gentiles. And you see right here in Romans chapter 11 and verse 13, Paul says, Romans 11, 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." He says, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Now again, that doesn't mean that he could never minister or preach to anybody other than Gentiles. What it means simply is that his primary ministry was to the Gentiles. And that's why he refers to himself as the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, let me ask you this. We've talked about it before. What are we? We're Gentiles, right? Now, in Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he breaks all of humanity into three classes. He says there's the Jew, there's the Gentile, and there is the church of God. There's three categories of people that exist in this world today. You have those that are Jews, then you have those that are Gentiles, and then you have the church of God, which is made up of what? Jews and Gentiles. It's made up of all people from all nations of the world who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So all of humanity fits into one of those. Either you're a Jew, just a lost Jew, or you're just a lost Gentile, or you're in the church of God. You're a part of the church. And Paul's ministry, primary ministry, was to go to the Gentiles and to help those Gentiles get saved. You remember back in Acts 26, where we just read a moment ago, he said to open their eyes, to turn them from light to darkness, to deliver them from the power of Satan and help them to have the power of God, all that stuff, is to help them get saved. But his ministry to Gentiles didn't just stop with their conversion. It went on beyond that to ministering to them as saved people so that those Gentiles who had gotten saved could understand the will of God for their lives. And that's why in Paul's epistles, which are to Gentile believers, that's who these letters are to, you have so much of the stuff that Paul says that applies specifically to Gentile people who now, in this dispensation, this time, are saved. And it's important that you and I pay, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm fixing to say here. I'm not trying to minimize any of the Bible. I believe the whole Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It's all the inspired, infallible Word of God, and we can learn from all of it. We can apply all of it in some fashion to our lives. But when you want church age doctrine that applies specifically to people that live now who are in the body of Christ, the main one you want to read after would be who? The Apostle Paul. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you throw out any part of the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. You have some people who want to cut the Bible up, you know, and say this doesn't apply and we don't need it. That's not what I'm saying at all. I believe it all. I read it all, and I'm going to try to make application from all of it. But here's what you got to understand. Not every part of the Bible, doctrinally speaking, is for you. You understand that? Not every part of the Bible, doctrinally speaking. Now, practically, you can make application from any of it. You can go all the way back to the Old Testament law, the prophets, the Psalms, the Proverbs, anything, and make application practically to any of it. But y'all do understand that there's certain doctrine in the Bible that no longer applies to people in this age who are saved. Y'all understand that? Y'all don't seem very convinced about that. Well, let me ask you something. The doctrine that you study and read about in the Old Testament, like the sacrificing of the animals in the Old Testament, does that still apply to you? Okay, now we can go back and read those accounts, and we can look at the types and the pictures that are there, and we can make application from those things to our lives. But doctrinally, I am not bound by those laws anymore that require me in this age to offer a sacrifice as some sort of atonement for my sin. Jesus Christ has paid the price. That stuff doctrinally doesn't apply to me. So you understand what I mean when I say not every part of the Bible doctrinally applies to you? There's certain doctrine that's no longer for you. And what I think is important is that you understand there was one man, only one man in your Bible that is called the apostle to the Gentiles. And that was Paul. It's the only one in the Bible called the apostle to the Gentiles. His primary ministry was to Gentiles, to get them saved, to grow them in their faith, to help them be what God wanted them to be. So when I'm looking for doctrine for me as a saved Gentile, you know where I'm going to focus my attention? I'm going to focus my attention on what Paul says. Now, again, that doesn't mean I'm going to ignore anything else. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm going to look at that apostle to the Gentiles because that's what I be. Amen? I be a Gentile. That's what you be. You be a Gentile, a saved one in the church of God. So I'm going to pay attention to what Paul has to say. And anyway, Ephesians 3:1, when he says he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, God apprehended me. The Lord apprehended me. He made me his prisoner for the benefit of you Gentiles. That's what he's talking about. Now, verse 2, he says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Now, you want to pay close attention to that because the word dispensation shows up in the verse, and some people want to read that as a period of time, because that's what the word dispensation means in one sense. It has to do with a period of time, and perhaps I know that I've mentioned it before, but maybe you've heard other preachers talking about different dispensations you read about in the Bible, different periods of time. Well, that's true. There are different dispensations. Well, that's not what this is talking about here in verse number 2. This is not talking about a period of time. When Paul talks here about a dispensation, he's talking about how God dispensed something to him. That's what he's talking about. Look at it again and read it very carefully. He says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, look at it, which is given me to you ward. What he's saying is God gave me, he dispensed to me, he gave me some grace for your benefit. You see what he says? The grace of God which is given me to you ward. And that's back to what he says in verse 1. He says, for you Gentiles. So he's talking in verse 2 about how God doled out some grace for him for the benefit of these Gentiles. He did something through his grace for Paul that would benefit the Gentiles. That's what he's talking about. Look at it on down in this same chapter in case that's not clear. Look at verse 7. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. You see that? It's about grace given to him. He refers to it as a gift. Look at the very next verse, verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What he's talking about is how the Lord dispensed to him, doled out, gave him some grace for the benefit of the Gentiles. God did something for Paul through his grace that he would be able to minister more effectively to the Gentiles, is what he's talking about. And so he says in verse 3, and he's going to tell us, I believe, what he's specifically referring to when he talks about God giving him this grace. He says, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then he puts in parenthesis, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What he's talking about here when he's talking about the Lord giving him grace for the benefit of these Gentiles, he's talking about how God revealed something to him. Through his grace, God gave Paul a revelation that would specifically benefit the Gentiles. And we're going to see what this mystery is that was beneficial for the Gentiles later on. But in verse 3, he says in parenthesis, as I wrote afore in few words. So he had already written on a previous occasion to them about this mystery. He says, as I wrote afore, that is before. I done wrote about it a little bit, and then he says, in few words. So I just wrote briefly, but I've already touched on this, is what he's saying. I've already give you a little bit about this. Then he says in verse 4, whereby when you read what I've already written, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Hoping that when they read it, they would come to an understanding of the knowledge that he had been given about this mystery. Specifically a mystery that was for their benefit. Now I believe when he talks there about how he had already wrote about this mystery, that he's talking about what he said in the previous chapter, in chapter 2 verses 14 to 22. And I'll explain why I say that in a moment. But look at verse 5. He says, which in other ages, talking about this mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So this is something that God did not reveal to anybody until, guess who? Paul. Folks, Paul got some revelation from God that nobody had ever gotten before him. He saved that man, and then after he saved him, he revealed things to him that he had never shown anybody before. Do you remember when we read back there in Acts, and I mentioned how that was God making him a promise that he was going to show him some stuff later on, where he said back there that he was going to appear unto him later on? This is some of that stuff. God revealed to him after he got saved, sometime after he got saved, and I don't know exactly when it was, but sometime after he got saved, God began to reveal things, open things up to Paul that he had kept hid from everybody else. You talk about a privileged individual. Paul was a privileged man. He was privileged in a lot of ways, but one of the ways he was privileged is that God showed him grace by revealing things to him that nobody had ever seen before. And this mystery is one of them. He says in verse 5, "In other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." It looks to me like he showed it to Paul first, because he says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And then he mentions in verse 5 how it's being made known to the holy apostles and prophets. It's a progressive thing. Once God showed it to Paul and opened that door and Paul saw it, then he began to show it to other people as well, to his apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Now here is the mystery. Here's what it is. And this is why I say that it was a mystery, a revelation that was beneficial to the Gentiles. Look at what he says. Here it is. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Y'all remember in chapter 2, that last section of that chapter, how we talked about, and I hope y'all can remember this, but y'all remember in chapter 2, we studied it two or three different times about how the Lord broke down that middle wall of partition that separated the Jew and the Gentile. He did that through his sacrifice, and he brought them together to where they, Jew and Gentile, were in one body, and they were a part of the same family and the same household and a part of the same spiritual building. Y'all remember that? Well, that's what I believe he's referring to back up in verse 3 when he says, "As I wrote a foreign few words." He said, "I just touched on that earlier over here." And here's that mystery, verse 6, "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body." The thing that God revealed to Paul is that, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to save Gentiles, and I'm going to put those Gentiles in the same body with all the Jews who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That was a thing that he revealed to Paul that was really beneficial for those Gentiles, because they've lived their lives, most of them, separated from the Jews, not feeling like they're a part of them, just missing out on all that stuff that God had for them. But now in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile are brought together. They're in the same body. And God revealed that to Paul. And Paul is passing that on to these people, these believers, hoping that they'll understand that truth, that they are in the same body with the Jews. And look at verse 6 again. We're fixing to stop. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Notice those last three words, "by the gospel." So how does a person, a Gentile, a Jew, whatever, but specifically he's talking to Gentiles here. How does a Gentile, an unsaved Gentile, get to be a fellow heir and a member of the same body and a partaker of God's promise? How does that happen? By the gospel. That means not just that they hear the gospel, but they hear the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the payment of sins, and they believe that gospel. When they put their faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are immediately put in that one spiritual body that we've already talked about. And that's a mystery that God revealed to Paul and that Paul is giving to these Gentiles. He wants them to understand their new position, where they are now that they're in Christ. Any questions about what we looked at in these verses here tonight? It looks to me like that's when it happened, yes. I believe that's when he got him.